Thank you. We certainly have enjoyed the service thus far. We trust that anything that we say would not take away from what Brother Wayne has brought to us and what Brother Harold has brought to us. The wonderful singing this morning thrilled our souls. We're thankful to be among God's people this morning on such a beautiful day, such a beautiful morning, such a beautiful building. And as Brother Harold said, may the beauty of the natural continue to be abated as we think about the beautiful things of the Word of God. I rejoice this morning in the good congregation to see these children that are here. And we have some children at the church that I pastor as well. And I've always said if they get louder than I am, I'll stop till they get through and then we'll resume. So please don't worry about it. We've had two children. We've got two grandchildren and one on the way. So there's no better sound to me other than the preaching of the gospel than to hear young children in the house of God. So we commend you for being here this morning. We commend you for bringing your family with you. We commend you for your good attention thus far. Elder Peters has been a man that we've respected for many, many years. It's been a long time since we've been able to be together, but I've appreciated so much his preaching. And, of course, as I said last night, Brother Harold Hunt, a faithful soldier of the cross, and we appreciate his being here this morning. You're a good pastor and his wife and their home. We were blessed to visit him yesterday. We thank God for that. And for your kindness and hospitality of inviting us this morning. We want to take a verse this morning to introduce the subject matter upon our hearts. It's found in the 14th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. You say, well, Pastor, you may be taking this out of context this morning. There are many verses in God's Word that we can look at the context in which they're used. But they also have other applications in God's Word. And we're taking nothing away from God's Word to do that. And we trust this morning that you'd give me liberty in doing that and cast charity over us. We'd like to read this verse this morning, the subject upon our hearts this morning. Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth, and we understand that there's many errors that are exposed and many errors that are confronted by the Apostle Paul. It was a church that perhaps many of us today would write off and not spend much time in gospel labor, but that was certainly not the Apostle Paul's mind. He had a desire to go to these brethren, and we'll find in the second letter that he writes to this church that much of the labor that he bestowed in the first writing to them was adhered to and was they were benefited by it. But I want you to notice the 33rd verse of the 14th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. As I approach my middle years, I'd like to think I'm still in my middle years. I tell people a lot of times, the thing that I desire more than anything else in my life is peace. I desire to be at peace with my family, be at peace with my neighbors as much as possible, be with the public, be at peace with the public that I deal with on a daily basis and have for over 30 years in my occupation. I desire very much to have a peaceful home. That when we come home together, my wife and I, we desire to have a peaceful place that we can relax and begin to de-stress and get a good night's rest and fortify ourselves against the day that will come tomorrow. And yet we know that many times in our life today, it's a place that can be vacant of peace and void of peace if the only thing that we look for is the world and the situation around us. I hope that you had a peaceful night last night, a restful night, and that you enjoyed the rest that you had. You came out this morning, we trust, rested. But there was a lot going on while you rested last night. Sometimes we forget. Our world becomes so small, we only think about what's happening within the confines of our house or within our own mind's eye. But while you were resting last night, I'm thankful to say there were peace officers that were patrolling the streets of the county in which we were staying. In our home county, we locked our doors when we left, and we have security signs up that we have a system there at the house. But we trust that all was peaceful there. But that peace came about because there were those that were out there that were patrolling the street that we call peace officers. And that's their job, is to protect and to serve and to provide for peace for the citizens of their community. Somebody said one time in my work, they said, well, I don't get anything for my tax dollars. I said, well, I've never spent a night in jail in Bullock County, but I sure am glad they've got one. There's some guys and some ladies out there that I'm very proud they're locked up in that jail rather than riding up and down the street in front of my house. Now, I've never spent a night there. I've gone to visit some people there. I've gone to pray with some people there. But there's something about that iron door clanging. I've been in there when that iron door clanged. That's a sound I don't want to hear. I told the sheriff one time in a county that I was working at, I said, I can come visit, but I can't spend the night with you. And I hope I never do. That's just one illustration. There are people that give their lives and dedicated to the peace. Brother Wayne talked about military people that are serving in a harsh environment halfway around this world in a war maybe they don't understand, for a cause perhaps that they don't understand all about. Maybe they're given orders that they don't always agree with, but they're there because, as Brother Wayne says, they desire for you and I and their wives and their children to live in peace. And I commend them for their service.
Yes.
One of the greatest treasures that this country perhaps has discarded and not given proper credit to are the veterans, particularly our World War II veterans. They're dying at a rate very fast, and there will soon be a fading memory to many of us. But it's been my good pleasure to sit down and talk. And they don't talk about their war experiences a lot, but I'm thankful they've dedicated their life to protection of peace. And you and I today sit on a hill, and I don't know, I guess we're in Bartow County? Here in Bartow County, in a church building that is so beautiful this morning, and we have that right and that freedom because somebody was willing to fight for peace. You see, but peace is not something that comes naturally speaking. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit of God. Peace is the indwelling of God. And when Paul here writes, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints, then peace is of God. Peace is a gift that is given to us. Peace is defined as a cessation of war or hostilities. We come this morning reconciled by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we approach His throne in prayer in peace because of the war has been accomplished. We were strangers and foreigners from the commonwealth of Israel. We were in a state of enmity, a basis for hatred is really what that word means. We were in that condition, but we've been made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been reconciled. I noticed as I drove up yesterday, you have gates out here at the driveway coming in. It's a good sign to see those gates open because it's friendly and inviting and tells me that it's good to come in and how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. But I would suppose, I don't know this for a fact, but I would suppose when the last car leaves this afternoon, those gates will be closed. Why? Because man by nature would seek to do harm. We understand. We live in those days. Brother Harry at their home church and at our home church, we've had our air conditioners stolen. Men came during the night, clipped the wires, loaded up those $10,000 worth of air conditioning, probably sold them for $400 worth of scrap, and we replaced them, thank the Lord, with some insurance and some contributions. But that's what happens many times at night. Jesus says to Nicodemus in John chapter number 3, this is a condemnation that is coming to the world, that men love darkness more than light because their deeds are evil. Right. While you slept last night, as we said, there were those that were watching for your peace. But also while you were sleeping last night across this world, there were some wonderful things that were going on that perhaps we ought to be thankful for this morning, and that God is not the author of confusion but of peace. I want to declare to you first of all this morning that His universe is at peace. His creation is at peace. While you slept last night, your heart beat anywhere from 60 to 70. Maybe you got down, some of you lower than that, some of you higher than that. But your heart beat anywhere, let's say, between 50 and 80 times per minute, and you didn't have a thing to do with it. In the creation of God, He blessed you with that ability. Your respiration was somewhere between probably 12 and 16 while you slept. What a blessing it is. While you slept last night, this earth was spinning on its axis at about 1,000 miles an hour. Can you imagine that? You didn't feel a thing, did you? You just laid down in your sleep number bed or your Sealy Posturepedic or whatever it was. And you just laid there and slept in peace while this earth was spinning. Why? Because our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, upholds all things by the word of His power. I remember driving home, and I've shared this illustration before. I was driving home from a meeting in Atlanta on I-16. Not a lot to do on I-16. Terrible, tragic wreck that we had down that way the other day. We came by it on our way to Atlanta on Thursday. Four people died in that wreck, so let's never take it for granted. But it was one of those afternoons. It was a clear afternoon, not much to do. Didn't have any tapes I wanted to listen to, so I hit the seek and scan on the radio, and it went to Georgia Public Broadcasting. And they had a scientist on there who was proclaiming and saying that in a billion years that the sun was going to run out of energy and there would be no more sunshine. And they had an hour conversation about the tragic consequences in a billion years of the sun running out of power and energy. Well, I want to tell you something. I'm not a smart fellow, but that was not what I was concerned about. I've never lost any sleep. I've never worried what happens in a billion years from now if the sun runs out of power. I know this, as long as man time remains, there will be seed time and harvest. He upholds all things by the word of His power. He's on His throne. He does His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And who can say, why doest thou? Some folks this morning are worried about global warming. I don't want to get on your political beliefs this morning. You may think, and we ought to be good stewards of God's creation that He's given us. I'm not concerned about man destroying this earth. There are some things that God in heaven has reserved unto Himself, and there will be some global warming one day. But you and I, as the children of God, our precious hope is we'll be long gone, and this earth will be a distant memory when God pours out His wrath upon this earth.
Amen.
Until then, I'm thankful to say I laid down in sleep last night and didn't worry about the sun not coming up this morning. They say that, and this is a marvelous thing to me, how that men of old, we've got GPS and it's all we can do to find 180 Mansfield Road, how men of old could leave a little island across or leave the continent of Europe in a little small wooden boat and safely navigate the North Atlantic Ocean and land on the shores of a distant land that no man had seen before from that area, how they compensated and used their compass and their sextants and used the stars in the skies. We think we're smart today, but those fellows who knew something, of those navigators and those sailors of that day, knew something about the handiwork of God. David says in the 8th chapter of Psalms, he says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, just the fingers work of God, the stars that are placed in their place so accurately so that they can take the day of the year that they're at, they can take the location that they're at, they can take their sextant, their compass, and safely navigate the seas and come to a distant land. I want to tell you something. That is order in creation. You can decide, you can pick a date 100 years from now and say, I wonder what time the sun will come up. And you be there, if you're old enough to witness that, you be there and you can predict with certainty when the sun will arise 100 years from now, or you can go back 100 years ago and decide and understand what time the sun came up. It is that ordered and that sure. While you slept last night, the moon that is so insignificant to us we think about, and by the way, our moon is about 20% larger than any other moon of any other planet in the solar universe. While that we were sleeping last night, the moon was exercising its gravitational pull upon the oceans and the currents of this world, and the tides were coming and going with exact precise ability to be able to predict when that was going to be low tide, when it was going to be high tide, when all of this would take place. Folks got up this morning down on the coastal isles of Georgia, and they went to the sea, went out to the coast to fish based on what that tide report said, and they were not surprised it was accurate. Now, man did not figure that. They just observed the handiwork of God and the order of God and wrote it down on a piece of paper so that some of us that don't study that close can figure it out. God is a God of order. While you slept last night, your body was at work. You were made in the likeness of God. You were wonderfully and fearfully made. Your kidneys were filtering out impurities out of your blood. Your lungs were taking oxygen and bringing it into your blood system. All of this while you slept and while you rested last night, because God has ordered and ordained in the nature of creation that these things would be upheld by His power. Now things go wrong. We have doctors, we have nurses, we have medications, we have all those things, and we understand that the law of sin and death is working in these bodies. But as far as nature is concerned, as far as we were formed in the likeness of God, the architecture of the human body, I'm not talking about the shape and size, some of us have already lost those days, but I'm talking about the beauty of design in the human body is without escape. The psalmist said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou should be? When we consider the work of his handiwork of us, but that he took notice of us.
Yes.
And I want to tell you something this morning. I say this in the very honoring a way that I can to God. I believe this morning that man is the crowning portion of God's creation.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
The birds got up this morning, and it'll soon be springtime. You go out down our way, I get my paper about 5:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock, it's still pretty dark. But it won't be long those birds will begin to sing their song. It'll be the time of year when they seek a mate, and they begin to replenish their kind, and begin to show forth and sing the praise of the author of the God of heaven. Now I want to tell you something, that's wonderful to me this morning. You know, it's amazing to me the order that God has in His creation. Think about the disorder that we find in Genesis chapter 1. God looked down, he said, upon the face of the deep, and there was without form and without void. Confusion. There was no creation. But God said in the very initial act of creation, he said, let there be light. Now this is before the sun was ever formed. The sun's going to be formed on over in that first chapter. But God said, let there be light, and there was, bam, there was light. They didn't have to, I imagine when you build out here, Brother Will, you had to wait for a little while to get the power run in. Well, God didn't have to wait on anybody to build any power. God said in his dynamic self, in his powerful, all-powerful self, let there be light, and there was light. And you know, it's always been light, hasn't it?
Amen.
Always been light. I also want to talk not only about the order of God. Brother Will, I told you now, don't stomp your feet too loud. I want to talk a little bit about the next of God's creation, this natural earth and the wonder of it. Oh, by the way, I want to think, I had never really thought about this too much. Isn't it amazing how that across this world, these freezing temperatures that they're having up in the northeast portion of, we have a little bit down our way, not too much, Brother Harry, but y'all have more up here. That ice, water, when it freezes, it expands about 10% more in volume than it is when it's not frozen. You ever thought of the consequences that if ice on the top of that water just sank down? It just crushed everything in that pond, wouldn't it? But because it expands, it forms a bridge across the top, and the fish and all that's under there just continue. You know, God is wonderful in His design and His creation. That's just another example of the beauty of God's handiwork. Creation. God is not the God of confusion, but He's the God of order. We see it all around us. We see His beauty of His creation. We see the intricacies of the life that we have and the interaction that we have. With, I've got a little dog at home. That little dog, you can learn a lot from a little dog. Somebody said, try to be half as good a person as your dog thinks you are. Now, that's a pretty good thought, isn't it? Because that little dog thinks I walk on water. Oh, he's just like a mean young little youngin'. But I tell you, he's become now where he'll get up in my lap and all is well when Bandito is in his lap. Just the interaction that we have. But he is not the chief species in the house. He thinks he is sometimes. I told him the other day, get you a job and do something productive with your life. But he doesn't pay any attention because he knows we're going to take care of it. Just the order that we have in creation is amazing to me. Now, let's talk a little bit about the next order of God's creation. He created the natural. He created what we see, the beauty of it. What was the next thing? He created Adam.
Yeah.
He took the dust of this earth. He formed a body. It was cold. It was lifeless. There was nothing there. But God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, think about the consequences of that, wouldn't you? The breath of life. God breathed into him. That tells me that life is of God. It's from God. It's precious. Every life is precious. Your life this morning is precious in the sight of God. And I want to tell you something. We need to be careful when we start. We hear about euthanasia. The awful sin of abortion that we have in this country. Is it any wonder that we see the chaos that we see in our society today? Brother Wayne, you preached on the family. We're going to get to that in just a few moments if the Lord blesses us with time. Life is precious. While you were sleeping last night, and I'm not talking about the things that occurred, barren women's prayers were heard and conceptions were made. That life that God gives was given to those. There were others who were in the very depths of agony of soul and a mind and a body. They couldn't live and they couldn't die. My wife works with a hospice and I'm a volunteer with them. And I can tell you something. We sometimes fear death something. And we do all we can to resist it. But death can come as a great friend to usher us from a world of suffering where there is no better. To be in the presence of God. To be free from the sin and the health problems and issues for which this doctors can do no more good. Don't misunderstand me. I want them to do what they can while they can. But there comes a point in time when the only cure is that the breath and the soul and the spirit return to God, gave it, and the body goes back to the dust. We need to reverence that. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I want them to take care of me, Brother Harry. I want them to take good care of me as long as I can. I've got grandchildren I want to see raised. I'd like to raise some great-grandchildren. I don't know how long I'll be here. I want to take care of the body that God has given me as well as I can. But I also understand that God gives life and He takes His life, the soul and the spirit, back to be with Him one day.
Yes.
Adam was made in the likeness of God. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. But man wasn't complete, was he? Now, somebody asked me the other day, did I know the difference between complete and finished? I said, well, not exactly. That's a hard definition. Think about it. What's complete and what's finished? Well, he said this. He said, when you find your soulmate, wife, and companion, then you're complete. When you find the wrong one, you're finished. I don't know so much about that. I don't know that that definition fits every case, but I want to tell you something this morning. I believe that Adam was made in the image of God, in the likeness of God, but he wasn't complete in the sense that God saw that it was not good that he would dwell alone. And he caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. This is the very thing that Elder Peters was saying earlier. He caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He took from his side a rib, and he formed a woman. He didn't take her, and we've heard this in weddings, I've said it myself, he didn't take her from his head that she might rule over him. Didn't take her from his feet that he might walk over, but from his side that she might walk beside him. And what a beautiful thing marriage is. What a beautiful thing. And it is absolutely, brother, it is the foundation of a society. Before God, and not saying, I'm not talking about in superiority, but in priority, God formed marriage even before he formed the church. And he used marriage as a type and shadow of the great relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, that you and I dwell in today. It is a type and shadow of, we hear the mystical union, but I'd like to say of the factual union between the Lord Jesus Christ and his people. And every good foundation that we see in marriage today, we can find imitated by the manifestations of the Lord towards his church and his people. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's the sacrificial love. That's the sacrificial love. Christ loved us enough that he gave himself for us. I've never been called to that task. I go to work in the morning. It's my joy to try to support, when we had children at home, and still is, to support our family. But I've never been called to the place that I had to place myself between my family and a bullet. But Brother Will, if it came to that, I hope God would give me grace. If I could die, that they could live, so be it, would be my prayer.
Amen.
I love them that much.
Yes, sir.
Notice what he says. God is order. It's not the God of confusion, but of peace. If a society is to have peace, we need to respect what God has given to us. If we're to have peace in our society, then we need to respect the order of divine union between a man and a woman.
Yes,
we need to respect that what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Somebody says, well, preacher, you don't know my situation. I don't this morning, and I'm not judging your situation. I'm simply saying, I always thought growing up that marriage was a 50-50 proposition. 50-50 won't get it done.
Amen.
It's got to be 100, 100. And sometimes 110, 110. I remember, and I say this, some of you knew my mother. She passed away in March of 1998. I say this in all humility and sincerity. My faults and failures, please don't charge to her. She was a godly woman who loved the Lord. She faithfully supported her husband in the ministry. And when she went home to be with the Lord, it just about took my heart with it for a while. But we had been married a little while, my wife and I. And I went to her and kind of had the moaning and the groaning. You know, things weren't exactly like I thought. We found out, excuse my expression, we both had dirty laundry at the end of the day. All this beautiful sunshine and roses that we had felt. And we found the realities of life. That there was a lot of bills to pay. There were a lot of responsibilities. And, you know, I told my mother, I said, Mama, I just don't know how this thing's going to work out. She said, wait a minute. I thought you told me that God brought y'all together. I said, yes, ma'am, I think he did. She said, well, if you'll be faithful, and she'll be faithful, God will give you what you need to stay together. So it takes faithfulness on both parts. I readily admit that this morning. But it is the foundation. It is the foundation for order. It is the foundation for peace in our society. It is the home and the family that God instituted there in the very beginning of time. What did he say? For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. I love what you said yesterday, Brother Wayne, and I'm going to start doing that. Reading those vows beforehand. I don't like to read them at the rehearsal, but I have gone over them before. But I'm going to make a stronger effort to really say, this is what you're... How far will sickness and in health, how far will that take us? Poverty, how deep will the poverty be that we may have to go into? How deep is the sickness that we may have to deal with one another? My wife, as I said, she had a patient recently. They were both in their 90s. And she walked in the room and she was patting his head, telling him that she loved him. And it was okay for him to go. After 67, I believe it was, years of marriage, as if they were still in love on the first night. She was bidding her beloved, her spouse, farewell because she loved him and knew that his time was come. A deep love. She had cared for him faithfully for many years. We don't know how long, how deep some of that may go, but I want to tell you something this morning. It is the foundation of order and peace in our society this morning. Now I want to talk just a few moments, if I can, about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Christ is the head of the church. The husband is the head of the house. And brethren, that doesn't mean in a place of superiority as far as browbeating. It doesn't mean any kind of physical abuse. A man that would hit a woman, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't have much use for him. I hate to say that this morning, but that is not what he's speaking about there. Wives, submit yourselves unto the husband as unto the Lord. Him and him only, submit yourselves. Brethren, the great example of the church and the simplicity of the church doesn't have to be complicated this morning. Men complicate it. They come up with all kinds of schemes and programs and things to complicate the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is really very simple. Three elements of worship. Singing, praying, and preaching. Very simple, isn't it? There's not any confusion in that. When we met out this morning, I felt at peace. I didn't have to stand up. I didn't have to recite anything. I didn't have to sign any kind of a pledge card. I didn't have to agree to any kind of a principle. I just came in and sat down in the house of God, anticipating that He would meet with us and anticipating that His saints would come together in prayer and devotion to Him, and that somebody would get up and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this little boy could go on his way in a little while saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We had an old black minister who passed away in Statesboro not too long ago. His obituary, he said this. He said, this is the way he always would announce when he was out of town preaching. He says, brethren, I'm a poor boy a long way from home. I kind of felt that way this morning, Brother Wayne. I felt like a poor boy a long way from home. But I want to tell you something. I had a great anticipation that my Lord and my Savior. That's hard for us as men to think of ourselves as a bridegroom, isn't it? I remember with great pride in my heart today. We got married in a very simple ceremony on my mom and daddy's front porch. We had chairs in the front yard. It was a very scenic place, very pretty place. And there were people that were gathered there, but we didn't spend everything that we could rake and scrape and mom and daddy could rake and scrape. We didn't have it to spend. They didn't have it to spend. And about 32 years ago, soon be 32 years ago, I looked down at the end of that row of chairs and my beloved was walking down that aisle. I was very proud to be her bridegroom. And I think she was very proud to be my bride. I couldn't tell you right now who all was there, but I know I saw her. And I rejoiced in that. Now, it's hard sometimes for us as men to put ourselves in that place as a bride coming down the aisle. But brethren, that's where we're at. There's nothing effeminate about that. Nothing wrong about it. We are the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm satisfied to be in that capacity this morning. I'm thankful. My wife, she's a good navigator. She'll take that GPS and she'll say, all right, now you're going to turn in 2 miles. You're going to turn in half a mile. Need to get in the right-hand lane. I appreciate all that. But there's some of the parts of this trip, and when we go somewhere together, that she does not worry about. She doesn't worry about if I've got the gas in the car. She doesn't worry about the oil's been changed. She doesn't worry if the tire's got enough air. She doesn't worry about all those kind of things because she's got some confidence to know that I'm going to take care of those kind of things. There are some things this morning that I am very happy Jesus Christ has taken care of for me. And I can subject myself unto Him and His power and His strength and His might and know that He has done all things well. He looks after my interest, Brother Wayne. He's a bridegroom to me. I don't have to worry this morning that my sins are half paid for. I don't have to worry this morning that I've got to do something else to be reconciled to Him. I don't have to worry this morning that as a minister of the gospel, I've got to bring somebody into an intimate knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. All I can do is stand to you and say, He has taken care of our needs here. He's a faithful bridegroom. And I want to be a faithful part of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the church of the Lord Jesus Christ recognizes Jesus Christ as her head, her only lawgiver, that our sole purpose is to worship Him and to preach the gospel and to support the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the good news bearer, if you will, from a far country. And when we realize it is not our obligation to populate heaven, it is not our obligation to try to bring someone into a new and vital relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but rather to preach the finished work of Jesus Christ, I want to tell you something. There can be peace in the church of Jesus Christ. Yes. If we exalt a man, another man, another bridegroom, another person above the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If he ceases to be the object of our worship and the object of our praise, you will have confusion and the evil works of this world will come into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as long as we subject ourselves unto him as unto the Lord, brethren, I want to tell you something this morning. There will be peace in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, you're preaching in ideal terms. I'm just preaching what I believe the Scriptures teach about peace. Now, what about government? We've talked about creation. We've talked about marriage. We've talked about the church, God's order in those churches. What about in government? There's a wicked king in the book of Daniel by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. Look at this kingdom that I have built. I'll use some of my words this morning. For time's sake, we won't go to it and read it. Look at the kingdom that I've built. Just look at what I've accomplished. But I've had this terrible dream. And I don't understand. Call my soothsayers and my magicians in. He tells them the dream. They don't have any idea. Lord, King, we can't tell you what it means. Well, there's a little Hebrew boy. We know one of those that's fair that we brought over here that we thought we could convince to go into the way of the Babylonians. He's by the name of Daniel. That's his name that we've given him. Call him and see if he can. He said, yes, sir, I can tell you what it means. You're not going to like it. I'm putting it in my words. You're not going to like what I'm going to say. But your kingdom is now taken from you, King. You're going to be driven out here as a beast of the field. The dew is going to get on your back. Your nails are going to grow like claws. Your hair is going to look like feathers. That's a terrible looking fellow, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, he had a message to deliver. You wanted to know. Some things, if you don't want to know the answer, don't ask.
Yeah.
Daniel was faithful to give the interpretation of that dream. And at that moment, his mind and his understanding was taken from him. He was driven out as no different than a beast of the field. He stayed that way for a while. But at the end of that time, what did he do? He looked up. He looked up. He had been looking down. Now he looks up. And his kingdom and his reasoning came back to him. He said, I know that thou art a God like no other. Thou doest thy will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. Who can say, why doest thou? Brethren and sisters, this morning, if we spend a lot of time analyzing what's wrong in our society, don't we? What's wrong in the political realm? What's wrong in the economic realm? Why have we borrowed ourselves out of our ability to pay, not only as a nation, but as individuals?
Right.
Why are we not satisfied with what God has given us? And we've got to borrow a little more. We've got to reach a little more. We've got to do a little more to try to fill the void and the emptiness that we feel in our life. Why is that? Why is our government, it seemed like, so bent on taking freedoms from us and the things that we have enjoyed and those brave veterans of the past have fallen? Why are we in the condition we are in? Are we not reasonable to understand that it's maybe because we have not acknowledged God as our Creator and the order that He has in creation? Is it maybe that we've not acknowledged Him as a nation and the institution of marriage and the sacredness of marriage? Perhaps that might be it.
Yeah.
Could it be that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that we see, and when I say church this morning, I'm speaking about church buildings and denominations. Could it be that the God of the Bible is not being proclaimed across this country maybe as it once was?
Right.
Could it be that what we see in our society is just a symptom of the neglect of the first three that I tried to bring to your remembrance this morning? Did we just get here out of random chance? Or did we get here because of the neglect of the order, of an order ordering God. Can I say it that way? Of an order giving God. A God who has placed this universe in perfect and divine order. A God that has instituted the sacredness of marriage, the bedrock of our society. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which He has purchased with His own blood, which is to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Perhaps we're not what we should be. I want to close with this. I spoke up at Brother Harry, Sister Deborah's home church last Saturday. And I used the subject matter where Jesus is tempted of Satan. And Satan says, if thou be the Son of Christ. I used that illustration. But there's a lot of ifs in God's Word. I want to say that this morning. I want to say it in the context that I hope you'll take it. Paul says in Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, he's not saying, I don't know if God's for us or not. He's saying, God is for us, and because He is for us, who can be against us? That's not a conditional if. Jesus says, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Did Jesus accomplish that? Absolutely. On the tree of the cross, the place of sacrifice was made. Jesus Christ went and prepared a place for us. But there's some other ifs in God's Word. One of them is 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. It says, If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from my wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land. If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. I think America today is at an if place.
Yes, sir.
I think God has not completely wrote us off. I believe if His people will honor Him as the Creator God that He is, if His people will honor the sacredness of the home and marriage, if His people will honor the relationship and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and His church, I thank God for this beautiful building. I say this at home, I want to say it here. I don't say it in pride, but I say it in sincerity to encourage you, and I need your encouragement in the area that we live. Never underestimate what a praying congregation, I'm not talking about a big number, but a praying congregation seeking to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in simplicity and truth and honor Him as their Lord and Savior, as the God of this Bible portrays. Never underestimate what that means to the community as a saving effect here in time in that community. I believe the Lord honors the prayer of His people. I encourage you here at Macedonia. This is my first time to be with you in this new building. I encourage you to honor Him, to serve Him, to acknowledge Him, to seek His peace. Hold on faithful to the truth as once delivered to the saints in Christ Jesus our Lord. You'll be blessed in it. This community will be blessed in it. God's people will be blessed in it. You're young. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you hearken unto me and obey my words, blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Blessed shall be your bushels. Blessed shall be your store. Blessed shall be your wine presses. But then he says, but if you don't, he said, cursed shall those same things be. May God bless us. I love what this brother said this morning. Serving God is not always easy, is it? Doing the right thing is not always easy. Go along to get along. I think if there's one sin of the American people, it's complacency. Somebody said, you know the difference between ignorance and apathy. Somebody said, I don't know and I don't care. That's about what the difference is. Let us not be in that camp. But contend earnestly for the faith of God. He said, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Prince of Peace, rule in our life.
Amen.